Hey, we're all looking to save, especially on medical bills, but where do you start? Now, unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings, well, it can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance, and they flag errors like overbilling or wrong codes and fraud. And you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, saving starts with knowing where to look. Go to their website. It's healthlock.com today before you see any other healthcare provider. Hey, did you know that one of the largest U.S. flags in the state of Georgia stands proudly in Pure Talk's parking lot? Now, to honor that flag, Pure Talk is supporting America's Warrior Partnership. Now, they have a mission to prevent veteran suicide. Now, you can help this great cause simply by making the switch to Pure Talk before Flag Day. Get America's most dependable 5G network for just $20 a month. Just go to puretalk.com/Sean, S-E-A-N, to make the switch. That's puretalk.com/Sean for superior cell phone service, and you get to help a vet in need. Hey, if you thought about upgrading your backyard, you should consider a Michael Phelps Swim Spa by Master Spas, combining the benefits of a hot tub and a pool. Now, your kids are going to have fun all year long with a spacious swimming area on one end, hydrotherapy massage jets on the other. It's proudly made in America with installation in under a day. Just use the promo code Hannity in the upper right-hand corner. When you go to masterspas.com, you can get up to $1,000 off. Exercise, relax, recover with the only hot tub and swim spa brand I trust, masterspas.com. All right, news roundup, information overload hour, 800-941-SHAWN. If you want to be a part of the program, we had on Jason Chaffetz earlier today, and, you know, we played Rod Rosenstein, and people in the Department of Justice, if you put your signature to a FISA warrant, that means you're verifying what is saying is accurate and true to the best of your ability. Okay, we know that they lied repeatedly. Anyway, as we mentioned earlier, the new IG report shows, yeah, in every single case that they looked at beyond Crossfire Hurricane, yeah, the same type of abuse is going on, and nobody's being held accountable. Now, it's getting worse and worse and worse. You know, Michael Horowitz found that the FBI investigators didn't make sure that FISA applications were accurate. 17 inaccuracies and omissions. Listen.
Among the most important are the requirements in FBI policy that every FISA application must contain a, quote, full and accurate, close quote, presentation of the facts, and that agents must ensure that all factual statements in FISA applications are, quote, scrupulously accurate, close quote. These are the standards for all FISA applications, regardless of the investigation's sensitivity, and it is incumbent upon the FBI to meet them in every application. Nevertheless, we found that investigators failed to meet their basic obligations of ensuring that the FISA applications were scrupulously accurate. We identified significant inaccuracies and omissions in each of the four applications, 7 in the first application and a total of 17 by the final renewal application.
All right. Now you have the first report of Michael Horowitz totally, completely ignored. All the low-hanging fruit, all the, quote, referrals for lying, you know, the same type of lying that got, you know, pre-dawn raids, guns drawn, 30 guys, you know, it's CNN fake news cameras. That doesn't happen if you're in the deep state. And I'm talking about people that abused power, that were proven corrupt, that he even recommended, you know, and referred for investigations and likely indictments. It probably would happen only if you're a conservative, not a liberal. Anyway, it raises real important questions. We were discussing this earlier with Jason Chaffetz, and that is, okay, if you're going to lie on a FISA application to spy on a political opponent, I can't support a system that has institutional corruption. You know, we went into some very specific detail about how what Wood's procedures are, the Department of Inspector General informing the FISA court about 209 instances of unsupported, inaccurate, omitted information with their sample of 29 FISA applications. I misspoke earlier. The OIG identified an additional 209 instances within that sample. That's a lot. Now, that means that they're not following the law. They're not following procedure. They're abusing power. And on the level they used it against Carter Page to spy on candidate Trump, transition team Trump, and President Trump, you can see the ramifications. They don't get held accountable. Well, if this is the way it's going to be in the future, I can't support it anymore. Now, the OIG, Office of Inspector General, did put forward recommendations. You know, establish specific policies, appropriate format, maintenance of the Woods files, which I'll explain legally in a minute, and consultation with, for example, the FISA court, determine how long it's necessary to retain Woods files to ensure accuracy and oversight. Anyway, I'll let the lawyers weigh in on this now. David Schoen, civil rights liberties attorney. Greg Jarrett, he was part of our ensemble cast, as was David. You know, we spent almost 3 years of our lives on this. He wrote 2 number one best-selling books on this. And welcome both of you back to the program. Greg Jarrett, we'll start with you. I mean, it just looks like the system's corrupt and broken, and they haven't done a thing to fix it. And I don't know what John Durham's doing.
The only thing they do is window dressing. During the first Inspector General's report and his conclusions that found widespread systemic mistakes, many of them intentional. FBI lawyer was indicted for doctoring a particular piece of evidence that was used to gain a surveillance warrant on the Trump campaign. But they continue to ignore the protocols that were already in place. You referred to them, Sean. They are the Woods procedures, the Woods files. So now Christopher Wray says, well, we'll put new ones in place. There is nothing to prevent Wray and others at the FBI from ignoring any new procedures the same way they did with the Woods protocol. So that's just window dressing when they say we'll change. They will not, because under James Comey's watch, he set the standard. Rules didn't apply to them. Under Comey's FBI, they could do as they please. They could ignore the law with impunity. They were accountable to no one. They were a power unto themselves. And the Comey standard still exists. Christopher Wray at the helm is nothing more than James Comey, part two. He promises reform. Won't happen.
Let's get your take, David Schoen. And maybe you can go into a little bit more detail as it relates to the very, very specific standards, what a Wood file is, so people understand it and how it's associated with the universe of the FBI, FISA applications, et cetera.
I'll tell you two things. I'll tell you what happened here, and I'll tell you why I don't believe it's going to change. Number one, Wood standards came in April of 2001. The goal of the Wood standards is, in their words, quote, scrupulous accuracy in the applications to the FISA court for a FISA warrant, the most sensitive, intrusive kind of warrant and personal surveillance that exists. What happened here is in three categories. The Woods procedures require documentation, actual documents, for every factual assertion in the application. What they found here is that in 4 of the files, they couldn't find any Woods files. In 3 of them, they weren't sure they ever existed, any documentation for the factual assertions in the application. Number 2, the report found insufficient factual support in the applications. This might be worse. You might say the first thing is a technical violation. They don't have the documentation. In the second case, they found out of 25 out of 29 reviews, the first 4 we talked about, the other 25 of them, 20 issues on average per application, and they range from 5 errors to 65 errors, lack of factual support. In other words, they had documents in the file, but when they matched the documents to the representations made in the applications, they didn't match up. The facts didn't support the assertions. 20 per application. And then 3 oversight mechanisms. They found they have the mechanisms in place, but this is what Greg was just saying. They're not being used. This is what you were saying, Sean. You can have rules in place, but they're not being used. This is assessment of compliance. That's the point of Woods. Woods requires supervisory levels. And it's not just Woods, by the way. The FISA court itself, in Rule 13, requires the applicant to immediately correct any misstatement or omission. There has to be a constant review. Now, and that doesn't happen. We know it now. It's part of the same campaign that happened all through this Russian investigation. We know now from the Durham report and the indictment that the Russian hoax, as Greg has called, many have called it, was a function here of a disinformation campaign, nothing less. Perkins Coie, Mark Elias, Fusion GPS, with the Clinton campaign, for by the Clinton campaign. So That's been exposed now, that this was something, you know, that just then ended up snowballing. You still see the New York Times saying, well, there is something suspicious about Alpha Bank and Trump and all that. Why won't it change? The number two person in the Justice Department today, Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco, that's a Weissman crony, came up with Weissman, adjunct teacher with Weissman, etc. That's the number two person in the DOJ. Sussman, the person indicted by Durham. His lawyers, one is a Weissman colleague from the Enron investigation, and the other was a Comey assistant. Those are their credentials. These folks are embedded in the system.
You know, I'm listening to this. What you're describing and Greg's describing is we have to get rid of the FISA court. And that's sad because that makes this country less safe. The FISA court's necessary because we got hostile regimes, hostile nations, and the government having the ability to listen to these conversations is critical. But if they're going to abuse their power and they're going to politicize it and they're not going to follow the law, both the spirit of the law and the letter of the law, then, Greg Jarrett, I can see this now, a tool for our safety and security goes away.
I have argued for more than 2 years the FISA court ought to be abandoned. The Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court is nothing more than a rubber stamp of the liars at the FBI that present them with phony evidence. And if these judges on the FISA court that rotate every week actually cared about the integrity of justice, they would have charged with criminal contempt all of the people at the FBI, all of the people who signed off on those four successive FISA warrants with crimes. Charge them with criminal contempt for lying, for deceiving the judges, for defrauding the court. But they didn't do it because they are hyper-political. They didn't want to draw attention to their own mistakes. They held no hearings. They simply accepted as truth the lies that James Comey and Andrew McCabe and all the others submitted to them. And so this is a crooked court, and it's an incompetent court.
Well, I mean, John Roberts never stepped in to fix it.
That's right.
None of I think if I was the judge and I knew I was lied to and there's been enough information to confirm that, I would have called them back in and said, how dare you lie before my court, and an appropriate punishment.
Yeah, of course, which is all the more reason why the FISC, as it's known, needs to be gotten rid of. And, you know, Congress has the ability to do that. And they've sort of waffled on the notion. They've talked big about getting rid of the FISC, but they haven't done it. Now, I'm not suggesting we don't have any federal intelligence surveillance when warranted, when justified, under, you know, protocols that are well established, but not with this court. Let's create a new court, or let's just do it the old-fashioned way. Upon probable cause and sufficient proof, go to a regular federal judge.
Your take, and do you think this survives David Schoen? And where's John Durham?
Listen, I can't disagree with anything folks have said, but I'd hate to see this court be done away with for the reasons you said earlier, Sean. Listen, I find most judges to be rubber stamps. I have a case right now in which judge simply rubber stamped a warrant, took a valuable piece from a person. Anyway, it happens every day. I don't know what the answer is. I do know I worry about if Congress has a role in remaking the court, I really worry. Can you imagine if the hate squad got their claws into what the FISA court would look like? We'd have applications for relationships only with our allies, not with the countries that we really face a risk from. I don't know what the answer is. The answer has got to be a more scrupulous, I think they have to have a special office just in charge of this that's overseeing the overseers. I think the court has to enforce its rules. This Rule 13 means nothing if there's no teeth to it, if they don't enforce it, if they don't use contempt sanctions. And as you said earlier, Sean, and I think any decent, normal federal judge would feel this way, if a federal judge is lied to by a lawyer or an agent that comes before that court, they must demand justice. There have to be consequences.
There has to be at the end of the day. Quick break. We'll come back more with David Schoen, Greg Jarrett on the other side. Everybody knows I'm pro-Second Amendment. I'm pro-gun safety. I just have a passion for firearms. I have since I was little. Now I have a passion for Henry Repeating Arms. HenryUSA.com is their website. Finest, best craftsmanship I've ever seen. Accurate, right out of the box. By the way, many are not. Many other companies are not. And the company is a lot more than the rifles and shotguns they make that you're going to love. Family owned. They're real patriots committed to making their products right here in the U.S. They also give back to their community and military and vets and law enforcement and firefighters and kids. Just an amazing and fantastic company. They support our Second Amendment. They support firearm safety, just like I do. They help pass shooting sports, hunting traditions to future generations. Maybe you want a firearm for safety. 200 Henry rifles and shotguns you can choose from. The finest craftsmanship, all made in America, all backed by a lifetime warranty. The owner's personal guarantee. And they're, well, I got to just say it, their customer service is second to none. Just go to henryusa.com right now. You'll get a free catalog and decals, and they'll give you a list of dealers where you live. That's henryusa.com, an amazing, great American company.
Looking for fake news? You won't find it here. You're with Sean Hannity on the air now.
As we continue with David Schoen and Greg Jarrett, 800-941-SEAN is our number. We'll get to your calls coming up next. All right, on to Durham. Where do you see this going? I mean, to me, just even missing the low-hanging fruit, that could have been done within the first 3 months. It's sad that we're at this point. I can't tell you how angry and frustrated I am, Greg Jarrett, and I know you are too.
Yeah, Durham's widening the net. He's closing in on additional people who may be indicted. You know, it's a crime to knowingly feed the FBI false information to try to frame one, someone, which in this case it was Donald Trump. It was Hillary Clinton who invented the collusion lie to smear Trump, and she was using these lawyers at Perkin Coie law firm to disseminate the lie, and they were simultaneously lying to the FBI about their lie. And so I think there are a brand new set of subpoenas issued by Durham, which tells us he's going after others, perhaps inside the firm. Certainly there should be others outside the firm, Fusion GPS, Christopher Steele, others, who did the same thing. And, you know, it's so revealing about the indictment, just how phony the collusion narrative was all along. People behind it knew it was a fiction. They didn't care. They continued to present it to the FBI and to feed it to the gullible, naive, and Trump-hating mainstream media.
It's just, all right, we'll give you the last word, David, shall we? Have about 20 seconds.
It's been much too slow what Mr. Durham has done. He really only now scratching the surface. We know the underlying story enough to know that there should be consequences. One side's called opposition research. The other side accused of obstructing the law. In Roger Stone's case, they kept these reports about the Fusion GPS stuff, CrowdStrike, from Mr. Stone. There were reasons for that. It's abominable what's happening.
All right, Greg Jarrett and David Schoen, thank you both for being with us. 800-941-SEAN, our number. When we get back, a live in-studio appearance, John and Jurassic, Five for Fighting, Blood on My Hands. This thing has gone viral. It's about abandoning Americans in Afghanistan. It's a powerful, and we'll tell you, if you're in the New York area, you can see John tomorrow night. He's going to be performing on Broadway. We'll give you that information straight ahead. 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. Quick break, right back.
Liberals crazy. 3 hours a day, every day. The Sean Hannity Show is back on the air.
All right, 25 till the top of the hour. 800-941-SEAN is our number if you want to be a part of the program. It is amazing. I've been friends with John Androsic from Five for Fighting now for years and years and years. I still have a picture in one of my offices of me, him, and Andrew Breitbart from years ago. And I look a lot younger. My hair is a lot darker, which, by the way, everyone's making fun as this is the 25th anniversary week of me being on Fox. And they keep showing these old videos of me. And every time I see it, I get angrier and angrier. Because I look like I'm 10 years old and my hair was pitch black. Anyway, but this song that he's written about abandoning our fellow Americans, their families, abandoning thousands of green card holders eligible to live here in this country, fully vetted, hundreds of tens of thousands of Afghan allies that will die. Many are dying already. And all of it so easily preventable. I'm going to let him explain the story to you behind the song in a minute. But John is going to sing it right here live in studio now.
Got blood on my hands. Got blood on my hands. And I don't understand what's happening. There's blood on these hands. They're still Americans. Left to the Taliban. And he. Now how's that happening? Winking, blinking, can't you look me in the eyes? Willy-milly, tell me, when did you decide this? We'll defend your sacred motto now means never mind. Hands. Got blood on my hands. Got blood on my hands. The flag of the Taliban. Over Afghanistan. Whoa. General Austin, is there no honor in shame? Can you spell Bagram without the letters in Blaine? Did Uncle Joe stick a trip in your vein? I can't hear her scream. If she's not, she's not. She's not on TV. I can't hear him scream. If he's not, he's not. He's not on TV. To every Afghan ally that we left behind, every child who won't know freedom, faces covered and blind, just for this American promise now in the fire. Just one American. Asking what's happening.
Wow, what a powerful, powerful song. My friend, John Andrasik. Great to have you back. How are you, sir?
Thank you, Sean. Thanks for having me, and happy anniversary, young man.
Happy anniversary, young man. All right, I'll take the dig. You know, we've been friends. We got out, I don't know why we even got out of touch. I have no idea. You know probably why? Because probably I had all my email accounts. I didn't have many emails. I had an email account canceled, and then I had My phones change constantly, and people, some of my friends think I became a snob, and I'm like, no. I said, when you have 50 some odd pages of FBI 302s by Robert Mueller's team on you, and you have 1,300 text messages with Paul Manafort in you, private text messages released publicly, your life begins to change. And so, unfortunately, some people assume that, oh, he's just a jerk, and I'm not, and I miss some people that I used to be able to talk to more often, but you were one of them, and we've reconnected. But this song is taken off. This is now a viral, I'd even say it's hitting like an anthem status here. It's gone so viral. Tell everybody about the whole song, start to finish.
Sean, it's interesting. It's a song I didn't want to write, and the first song I've ever taken no joy in putting out. Certainly when we saw the initial images out of Afghanistan, we were all horrified, kind of flashback to 9/11 with some people falling from planes. But when our troops were killed, our 13 troops and the 100 Afghans, like you, I was just infuriated because it was preventable. And like many artists, I went up to my piano and started banging on it, had no intention of writing a song. And then a few days later, after our troops left, I got a call from a friend. And this friend is an amazing woman. She does incredible humanitarian work around the world. And she said, I need a contact. And I said, well, what's going on? She said, well, we're organizing evacs of AMSITs from Afghanistan. And me being, just the normal citizen, I'm like, what's an AMSIT? She's like, an American citizen. And I sat there for a minute and I said, are you telling me that you're risking your life to go rescue American citizens that we left behind? And there was silence on the phone. And she said, yes. And that night I wrote a few verses. And finally, the song wrote itself when the president came out and gave his an extraordinary success speech. And I was insulted, but I had hope because, Sean, like you, I've spent the last 20 years performing for our military. I have great respect for our military. And I expected our generals, General Milley and Austin, to come out and clarify that. Maybe it was an extraordinary success. Maybe we should not have abandoned Bagram. Maybe we should have extended the deadline. I was hopeful for that. But when they came out and echoed the same narrative of what a great airlift we had, and everything went according to plan, I realized this was a political operation from the start. And that scared me. And I wrote the song. It finished itself. I recorded it the next day and I put it out. It's intense. It's an emotion and experience I've never felt, even with Superman. There are people, as you said, there are many people who are very emotional. Some are crying. Some are obviously upset, especially our vets. I think they're also feeling grateful that someone's speaking their pain. But I think there's other folks there who maybe not initially were excited about the message, but they were thinking about it. And it's resonating because deep down, for all of us, every American knows that we have deeply damaged our national honor. We have lost a piece of our soul. And until we have accountability for this humanitarian disaster that we see every day, especially for Afghan women and children.
I hate to tell you, we're not seeing it every day.
Well,
there's almost a full-on media blackout. Now, today's day 51 since Joe's abandoned them. I talk about it every day. And you're right. There are many, many heroes that are putting their lives at risk. And by the way, apparently they're now being investigated, according to some reports, by the FBI. Why, I don't know. Our State Department has now said you cannot, if you charter a flight with Americans on it, you're not even allowed to land that plane in the U.S. to get people the hell out of there. And if you get a third-party country to accept your charter, that's fine, as long as they don't need a sign-off from Joe Biden's State Department, because that sign-off will not be forthcoming. Those are their words, written words.
It's the Twilight Zone. It's unbelievable. I talk to my friend on the ground every day. At the same time, with all this depressing news, the American promise is not dead. You are going to tell the stories of some of these American military heroes who have sold all their assets. They've quit their jobs. They've gone down to Afghanistan. They are doing operations as we speak to rescue their brothers and sisters they fought with, some that saved their lives. The American promise is not dead. And this song, it's not just about a song. It's about a moral obligation. There's a history of this country when our leaders fail us, that we take it on ourselves, that we rise up and we do the right thing. And people are doing that. I want people to know that. There's heroic work going on. We're going to tell those stories. And history will judge Milley, Austin, and frankly, the president. They may not have accountability from their own selves, but history will judge them.
You know, you told me that in the lead up to singing the song, now that you're out performing again, you tell a story. You tell the story that you've been telling us, but you also bring up something that is pretty interesting to me, that you wouldn't care who the president was. This is not even a political issue for you. I've said it in my own way. I've said, if every American that's trapped behind enemy lines, even if they're all going to come back to America and try and get me fired, and there are a lot of people that get paid to get me fired, right? I said, even if they're going to try and get me fired, I want them home. They're our fellow Americans. We don't abandon our fellow Americans, John. We don't do that. That's not who we are. That's not the country I believe in.
You know, we have this malignancy of tribalism, Sean, that we look at everything through a political lens. I agree with you. Look, it would have been much easier for me to write this song if Donald Trump were president. You know, I'm sure I'd be braced by a lot of folks that are not talking about the song, that are shunning the song. I'm sure there'd be dozens of protest songs, and there should be. This is a great shame. This is a generational shame. And you know what? If Donald Trump was president and we were here and I wrote this song and the names changed, but the song remained the same, I believe you would play it, because it's not about politics. It's about the fact we left our people behind. We left our allies behind. There's tens of thousands of SIV holders. You know what an SIV is? It's a promise. It's a promise that we will protect you because you put our lives in our hands. And we are abandoning that promise. And we can't let that go unnoticed. And we're, you know, you're keeping it out there. Laura's keeping it out there. We're going to do everything we can to get those people out, even if it takes, I won't
you
say, 100 years.
I've been very reluctant, and I've alluded to it, as you have. There are brave Americans. There are former special ops guys, yep. Navy SEALs.
Yep.
There are very generous people that are paying for these planes. From what I've been told, I asked one person, I said, is any money needed? They said, no. There's no excuse for that, John Androsik.
Yeah, I talk to my friends on the ground. They are so frustrated with the State Department. I think they're afraid of having something go bad and having a Black Hawk down. But this is American citizens with passports. I was watching the hearings, and General Austin was implying that, well, pretty much everyone who's gotten out is out. I had a picture of two American citizens with passports on my computer that we were trying to get out, that I was texting people on the Hill that day. And you know what? They got out. Our Republican and Democratic congressmen or senators every day are helping us get people out. I don't understand, Sean. I don't know why we're here. That's why I wrote this song. What is happening? What is happening to America? What happened to our honor? What happens to decency, moral decency? I just don't understand. And that's why I scream it every night, and I'm going to keep screaming it.
You're an amazing artist, an incredible singer, an incredible performer. John, great to have you back, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. We've got an awesome Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern, on the Fox News Channel. Please set your DVR. You don't want to miss an episode. Former Vice President Mike Pence, he's been pretty quiet lately. We'll talk to him about Afghanistan, about the border, about energy, the economy. Newt Gingrich weighs in on the implosion of the Democratic Party. We'll show you poor Kristen Sinema being followed into the bathroom. It's really unbelievable. You're going to want to record our version of Blood on My Hands, John Androsik, Five for Fighting song. 9 Eastern, say DVR, Hannity, Fox News. We'll see you then, back here tomorrow. Thank you for being with us. You make this show possible. We will never forget it. You know, since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, they have been committed to improving the lives of Americans' vets, first responders, and their families. Now, for over 20 years, the foundation has helped America keep its solemn promise to never forget. Now, Tunnel to Towers provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders with young children. They build specially adapted smart homes for catastrophically injured vets and is working to eradicate veteran homelessness. Now, Dave Marshall served in the Army during World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. Now, he has never forgotten the sacrifices of his comrades in arms, nor the efforts of first responders on 9/11 and in the days and months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor. Tunnel to Towers is committed to supporting our vets, first responders, and their families, and there are so many of them that need our help. Please join the foundation on their mission to do good and never forget. Just commit $11 a month. You can do it by going to their website, the letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Hey, we're all looking to save, especially on medical bills, but where do you start? Now, unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings, well, it can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance, and they flag errors like overbilling or wrong codes and fraud. And you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, saving starts with knowing where to look. Go to their website. It's healthlock.com today before you see any other healthcare provider.